Hey everybody, today is August 13th, and we got some bugs to talk about. Nick, how's it going in Rice?
Man, these stink bug numbers are building pretty good in whatever's green out there. I know we ain't got just a ton of green rice, but it just seems like we're seeing a mass exodus like we normally see coming out of any of this rice that's been drained and the stuff being harvested right now, and some pretty good numbers. And I actually had a couple calls this week wanting to know what the ramifications are if we don't spray. And when we were doing a lot of this, both the threshold work, but I was really focusing a lot the other day looking at our data from when we were doing a lot of the resistance work and generated all those economics around peck and milling quality and that kind of stuff. You look at some of them trials, and the untreated weren't big blowout numbers, but they were, 20, 25 for 3 to 4 weeks. And it was pretty consistently grade 4 or worse rice, so 4% or worse peck. In other words, it's turning into dog food at that point. Like, you're not going to be able to sell that, especially with the way mills can't move rice right now. It's one of them things. That's a major gamble not to spray with those kind of numbers. It's a little safer if you don't spray, if you're really close to that termination window or edit. But man, if it's one of them that you got 2, 3 weeks to get to, 60% straw colored, them stink bugs are going to do a lot of damage in that amount of time. So, unfortunately, we don't have anything overly cheap to spray. But I know everybody's broke, but it's one of them I'd be really nervous about not treating something like that. Last thing I mentioned too is, I think last week we said that Dawson had found that Delphacid down there at Winnsboro. We went down to Southwest Arkansas and all over Southeast Arkansas this week, and we haven't found one. I'm not gonna say there's not one in the state, but we weren't able to find it. And I stick by what we've been saying. Unless something massive changes in the next couple of days, we pretty well beat it this year. So that's pretty much it in rice.
Yeah, and cotton, I'm still getting these calls on these white flies and kind of aphids here at the end of the year that guys are obviously worried about because, like I've been talking about, I mean, you don't want to get that honeydew on your limp whenever those bowls start to crack open. And that's one of the things is that I really don't want to spend money on those aphids or white flies unless I start getting a lot of honeydew and those bowls start cracking open. So I'm not too worried about them from like a yield loss standpoint, but it's more of a quality deal. So if you are, at a time that you start to have these bowls cracking open where honeydew can get on the limp, that's when I'm really going to start to be concerned for right before some of those bowls start to crack open. Probably up until that point, I'm going to ride them and I'm going to see if these populations of aphids or the white flies will crash. With the aphids, you can run like 3/4 of an ounce of Transform. And that'll take them out. But I think those white flies are a little tougher. You look at white flies on the silverleaf white flies that guys have out like east that they deal with, and they got to run a pretty high rate of transform to get them under control, like 2 ounces. Tyler Toll's data shows that 1.5 ounces of transform did really good on the banded wing white fly that we're dealing with right now. But I don't have any more data on any rates lower than that. So just kind of keep that in mind. Plant bugs, remember, I mean, most of this cotton should be at past cutout, and you can double your threshold for plant bugs once you get past cutout. Maybe that'll save you insecticide application. I don't know. It doesn't sound like I'm hearing a lot about spider mites right now. We had some spider mites over at Mariana that crashed on us that I was hoping to get some good data out of, but of course, whenever you put a trial out in put a trial out in the field, it always seems like spider mites, for whatever reason, they don't want you collecting any data on them, and they always seem to crash out for me. But remember, spider mites are one that you kind of gotta take care of up till you're almost ready to defoliate, because you don't want those spider mites to prematurely defoliate your cotton. So keep that in mind. Worms in the Bolgar 3, I still hadn't heard of any fields in Arkansas that have had a lot of worms in any Bolgar 3. So hopefully that stays the case. But if you do end up finding some worms in any of this Bolgar 3 cotton, please give me a call so I can come out there and collect some, and we can figure out what the deal is, if we do actually have resistance going on, or if it's just a drop in expression here towards the end of the year. So we would like to come get some samples if you do end up finding some. But that's really kind of what's going on in cotton right now. Remember, for like North Arkansas, we're past that last effective bloom date. For South Arkansas, I think it extends out to the 21st of August, so you might still have a little time down there to for those white blooms to actually make you some yield. But just kind of keep that in mind on what you're trying to protect at this time of year, and whether those blooms are actually going to be able to turn into, you know, bowls that are something worth protecting. I don't know, Nick, we've been talking about beans quite a bit before we actually started recording. And I mean, it sounds like we're hearing a lot of loopers, salt marsh, and stink bugs.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, the stink bug's been kind of quiet, it seemed like, over what, maybe the past 2 weeks, especially compared to the beginning of the season. But I think we went through that time period where so many beans were late R5s to early R6, and they kind of spread out across the landscape, to now we got enough beans that are R6.5 to R7-ish. And now they're kind of condensing back down, sort of like rice stink bugs, and the numbers are starting to build. And it sounds like red bandits are building pretty good, especially south of Pine Bluff, particularly south of Dumas there. But you know, it gets kind of complicated with what you're seeing with loopers down there in your plots, and what's starting to build all across the southern portion of the state with stink bugs and loopers out there.
Yeah, I mean, at Tiller, we had plots this week. We got a new flight of loopers into it. So we're 14 days out from, I guess, our first insecticide application that we had out there in those plots. And we got another flight of bowl or another flight of loopers into those plots. And I've got some of my untreated stuff. I'm running 150 loopers on two drops. And I have looper moths just going everywhere. It's the most looper moths I've ever seen in my life down there in those plots. Now, whether they're concentrated in that area because it's the only game in town, like I said, these were late planted beans with the intention of us getting worms or stink bugs on them. I mean, that's the whole reason we plant them late. And a lot of those beans around that area are kind of at the end. I mean, there's a lot getting Gramoxoned in that area. So maybe we're the only game in town right there, and that's why they're so thick. But there are quite a few looper moths around, and we have been getting calls on them. So whether the second flight ends up laying, you know, a lot of eggs in these soybeans is something I would keep in mind. If you have You know, if you don't have a lot of loopers, and like, I mean, me and Nick were talking, you know, maybe Vanacore or Besiege or something like that will get you by. But if you've got a sure enough big population of loopers, I'm going to stick towards the Intrepid Edge, the Denim. I think there's a little Steward out there too, and Steward's a really good soybean looper product. So just you got a few options there, and I'd probably just shop around and kind of see what I could get cheapest. But either three of those are really good for soybean loopers. And
And
what,
being
yeah.
one thing we talked about before this, it seems like with these stink bugs mixed in with these loopers, been a lot of conversation about what if I run a high rate of asphate with some bifenthrin, lambda, whatever, picky poison, pyrethroid, and I don't know, I'm real hesitant about that.
Yeah. And once you get past R6, you really don't have that much longer to protect those beans until you get to R6.5. And so if you don't have just like a blowout population of loopers and you got stink bugs out there, I don't know. What I've seen in the past is about 50% control sometimes with the soybean loopers. It might get you to the end if you don't have a big population of soybean loopers. But if you do have a large population, I'm going to want to stick with the actual soybean looper product. And then if you got stink bugs at the same time, like Nick said, you can throw in some bifenthrin for relatively cheap and clean up your stink bugs along with your looper product. And then we were also, talking that if you do have soybean loopers, and you are at R6 and you got a good population of them, you can run that reduced rate of like 3.5 ounces to get con of Intrepid Edge to get control of the soybean loopers. But if I'm before that, I would probably run that 5 ounce rate. I think there's a guarantee, like a 3 week guarantee on that 5 ounce rate of Intrepid Edge. So if you did have to come back, at least your insecticide would be covered. But just kind of keep that in mind. I mean, there's a lot of loopers, and it doesn't look like this weather's going to cool down, and it doesn't look like we're going to need rain. So I don't expect these looper populations to crash. I expect them to keep on, persisting. So that's kind of what the deal is there.
Yeah, and you're talking about hot and dry. Not that there's a ton of army worms in the state, but that's the kind of weather that'll make them blow up too. And it sounds like there was a pretty good run down in southwest Arkansas and some pasture over the past 2, 3 weeks. And I mean, I still don't feel like I've gotten many calls over in this area of the world, east side of the state or central much, but it seems like you can find them on any signal grass out there. So just keep an eye on any pastures if you look at them.
Yeah, and the other thing we were talking about with the pastures is Bermuda grass stem maggot seems to be pretty they're pretty thick this year. And really the only thing you're going to get control with those Bermuda grass stem maggots is a pyrethroid. Dimlin doesn't do anything for that Bermuda grass stem maggot, neither does a chlorantraniliprole product. You gotta have a pyrethroid in there, whether it's Mustang Max or Lambda. That's what you gotta have out there to control those Bermuda grass stem maggots. And you really want to get out there and spray at about, usually it's about 7 days after you make a cutting. That's kind of your timing. And then if you still have them out there, 7 days later, you're still finding those flies out there. You may need to make another application. But it's really right now with how dry it is, unless it's irrigated, it's whenever that grass starts to green back up is when those maggot, when the flies start to actually attack that grass again. And so if the grass isn't greening back up, then I don't think that grass is going to be too susceptible to that stem maggots. Whenever the grass starts to green back up, which is typically, a week after cutting, if you do have moisture, that's when you're going to want to make that insecticide application.
Now, Ben, you're talking about how dry it is and that. It kind of reminds me of something else we probably ought to hit on in beans, that A lot of pictures flying around right now of brown pods that are flat, and it's in some fields that have had low levels of stink bugs in them all year, and curious if it's stink bug injury. And I think a lot of what we're seeing is just flat out heat stress. Not that a stink bug won't feed on every seed in a pod, but a lot of times you see that like one seed that's stung, that's flat, and that sort of thing. But these pods are outright dying. I think a lot of it's heat stress.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the only time I've ever seen pods die like that with and just abort completely has been under some extremely heavy stink bug pressure. Not like the numbers that we're seeing here. This is this was like red banded stink bugs when I was working in Mississippi years ago. It was just extremely heavy stink bug pressure. And this running a threshold level of stink bugs is not going to do what I've been seeing in some of these pictures with how many aborted pods there are on it. So just kind of keep that in mind. It's unless you just had a blowout number of stink bugs, this is not what's causing these pods to abort.
And it ain't deck tea stem bore either.
No, it didn't teach them
Yeah,
more either. So I don't want to hear that.
we
But did we talk about the red bands?
not too much.
No.
And it does sound like them populations are building pretty good, particularly south of Dumas. And you got a few more options. I know everybody wants to rely on bifenthrin and acephate, but some folks have had decent luck with some Lambda imidacloprid, of course, like the Indigo products. But I mean, bifenthrin acetate's kind of the standby. I think one thing to keep in mind there is some of these populations and red banded don't really leave the field. They'll stay in there till the combine hits it, even after desiccation. And in some of these situations, these guys are having to add some acetate to their desiccant, which is a extra added cost there. But it does seem like these red bandits are starting to trickle north, and the populations have built up quite a bit over the past couple of weeks.
So just keep an eye out for those. I mean, especially if you got any late beans, I mean, they're going to start hitting those. With as many beans as I saw that were desiccated down in South Arkansas and are just drying down, I mean, if you got late beans down there, they're going to be, they're all going to go to those fields. Do we talk about salt marsh control?
No.
Well, salt marsh, we haven't had good luck in our trials with salt marsh control with Lambda. It seems to be like you need something a little with a little more punch. Either like Intrepid Edge, regular old Intrepid looked pretty good on them. But with the price of these diamides now, I mean, you could run probably Besiege or one of the other diamides for pretty good, pretty good price to get those salt marsh under control. But I wouldn't, if I had a good population of salt marsh, I would not try to kill them with just a pyrethroid. You're gonna have to have something a little bit stouter.
Yeah, and probably keep in mind your loofah population too. You're talking about using diamides. I mean, if you got quite a few loofahs out there, it might be worth looking at Denimer Edge.
For sure.
And it sounds like some velvet beans are blowing up in a few places over there, especially around your home place.
I've got a few calls on them. And typically, Lambda does a pretty good job on them on its own. I mean, they've typically not been hard to kill in the past. And so just a pyrethroid application will keep those under control. Well, that's really everything that's kind of going on, I think.
Yeah, it went from very slow to it's going to cost us some money to get out of the field this year, unfortunately.
Not good. But if you need us, call us. My number's 501-517-3853.
And I'm 870-456-8486.
All right, thank you.
Always read and follow label instructions. Some products may not be registered for sale or use in all states or counties. Please check with your local extension service to ensure registration status. Besiege, Denim, Indigo ZC, Indigo ZCX, and Gramoxone SL 3.0 are restricted use pesticides.